Welcome to Secular Yakking.
It's like blogging out loud, a show where we cover current events, politics, and anything secular to yak about.
Want to join the conversation? Lines are open. 704-802-YAK. That's 704-802-YAKK. Welcome back, Yakkers. This is Robert.
And this is Amy.
And we hope you found a way to stay cool this week because temperatures are rising. So we have some local events this week. Celebrate Independence Day. Sorry, that should be Independence Day with the arrival of summer with the annual Freethinkers Potluck Picnic hosted by the Humanist of Washington.
All Puget Sound area Freethinkers are invited to this family-friendly picnic, and it will be held at Ravenna Park in Seattle.
Food is served from 1 to 3 p.m. Cleanup starts at 5.
So bring your family, some frisbees, a blanket, some sunscreen, and a picnic-friendly dish to share with everyone. And more details can be found at humanistofwashington.org.
And we do have the phones working this week, and I think they're working pretty good.
Let's hope.
You can give us a call at 704-802-YAK. That's 704-802-9255. So we're going to move on to the news. Saudi Arabia's Supreme Court has upheld the sentence of 1,000 lashes and 10 years of imprisonment on the blogger Raif Badawi, despite foreign outcry.
That's unreal.
1,000 lashes, right? Raif Badawi, a progressive blogger in Saudi Arabia, was sentenced to 1,000 lashes and 10 years imprisonment for the crime of insulting Islam and apostasy. The lashes were to be carried out in a 50-week, at 50 a week for 20 weeks to make sure he did not die before the punishment was finished.
That...
So they want to make sure they can punish
keep
him.
Keep doing it. Yeah, that's really sick and very dark ages.
Yeah. Welcome to Saudi Arabia.
In the dark ages.
Right. The lashes were halted after the first week following concerns for his health. Well, no duh.
You think?
Yeah, seriously. You're going to give a guy 50 lashes and then you want to give it to him the next week and think he's going to survive?
And all for saying words. I mean, there was no one hurt, nothing. It was just for speaking words.
I know. Just this week, the courts upheld the punishment and his wife, Insaf Haider, I think that's how they pronounce her name.
Not sure.
Told the BBC that she fears the punishment will start again on Friday. There's a global campaign to halt the punishment by the UK-based Amnesty International. Several allies of the Saudis have called for an end to the punishment, but the kingdom has rejected these requests as interference with domestic matters.
Yeah, I think they were going to do what they wanted regardless.
Of course they are. They've always done what they want. I don't know why we are still friends with the Saudis. And their human rights record is horrible.
They don't have any.
If I remember correctly, they've beheaded 85 people so far this year. And wow, they're hiring more beheaders.
You mean just this year, as in June?
Yeah, as in June.
Or June 1st, right, actually.
But like I said, they're hiring more beheaders because they can't keep up.
And what are they trying to accomplish with this?
Get rid of apostasy. Saudi Arabia is a Muslim theocracy. Or it's not a Muslim theocracy. It's a Muslim-run monarchy.
So it literally is like a modern Dark Ages kind of thing, because it was, you believe what we tell you to believe or you die.
Right. That's exactly what it is. And, you know, we need to step up and help and stand up for Raif Badawi and other people like him, because he's not the only one over there suffering from this. He's just currently the most well-known.
Right. There's actually been many.
Right. So, you know, if you're out there, you know, contact your whoever needs to be contacted. I'm not even sure who to contact on this. I'll
have
to look it up.
Because it's not a local government thing. So maybe someone has more info.
State Department.
On that.
Contact the State Department. Let's deal with that.
Yeah.
Because that's the people who are going to deal with it.
It's hard to believe it's 2015 and things like that are still going on.
Right. Which is why we do what we do. This is why we are secular activists, because of situations like that. The last thing we want to see is this to come back to America.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to see it anywhere in the world.
Yeah, we're nothing, you know, we don't do anything comparable to that. I mean, we have our own little wars to fight, but it does not hold a candle to what they go through in other countries.
Yeah, I mean, we're not being hacked to death in Bangladesh.
Right.
We're not being tried for apostasy and blasphemy.
Blasphemy. Can you believe that?
Yeah, blasphemy.
I mean,
a victimless crime.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
But like I said, that's part of why we do this. And even in America, atheists are not necessarily held to or felt as though they're trustworthy.
No, right? Not at all. Atheism is a bad word,
right,
according to others.
Yeah. So like in a 2009 University of Minnesota study that asked, this group does not at all agree with my vision of American society, meaning, you know, they don't have the same view that America should be that I do.
Right. And so this was the question that people were asked.
So an atheist topped that list at 39.6%.
That they do not agree, that they don't agree with the vision of what American society should be.
And Muslims were directly under that at 26.3%.
Terrible. And I think a lot of that has to do with the whole 9/11 thing.
Yeah, that obviously had a lot to do with it.
But
atheists ranked worse than Muslims during that time frame.
I don't understand any of it.
Right. So, and in that same study, they said the question was, I would disapprove of my child wanted to marry a member of this group. And atheists again topped that group at 47.6%. Nearly half of Americans in that poll said they don't want their child marrying an atheist.
Well, a lot of times too, when you hear, you know, you speak with people who aren't atheist and they hear the word atheist, it automatically, it's like a shutdown, like a veil goes over their face as soon as you say that word, you
right
know?
I mean, even in that poll, Muslims ranked lower at 33.5, African-Americans at 27.2, and Christians came in at 6.9%. 6.9% of Americans would disapprove of their children marrying Christians. I mean, that's insane.
It's sad that anybody would disapprove of their children marrying anyone.
I know.
It's like my children, it would be, you know, I want you to fall in love and marry who you're in love with. I don't care what they are, what they look like, as long as they treat you good.
Exactly.
And you know, that's what's important to me.
Yeah, I'm not going to say don't marry this person because they're Christian.
Or because they're Black, or because they're Asian, or what have you. I mean, it's about how that person treats your child and the love that they have. That's right. All that matters.
And then we can move on to the trust issue with atheists. So there was a 2011 study that rated atheists as being less trusted than racist.
Rapist.
Sorry, rapist, not racist.
Rapist.
Probably the same thing, or the same views. So the question was, if person A did some horrible things, hit a car and left a note without any information on it, and found a wallet, took the money and threw it away. That was the whole concept. Is this person teacher, or is this person teacher and an atheist?
Okay.
Or is this person teacher, or is this person teacher and a rapist?
Right.
Right? So most people came up with teacher and atheist.
As being the worst.
As being the person they would most likely assume to do something like that.
Oh, okay.
To be a complete jerk, right?
The assumptions, yeah.
Right. Well, and rapist and Muslims ranked well below that. So and the atheists scored the highest on that.
Top the board.
Right. And then even in the other way around, they did another one similar with women.
Uh-huh.
And the person was a woman, and they threw in feminist in there. In place of rapist.
Oh, okay.
Right? Still, atheism ranked higher on that than the feminist.
So,
atheism is the least trusted demographic in America as of this 2011 report.
Right. I mean, that's pretty sad. They trust... So, this was a trust question, right?
Yeah, this was a trust.
Okay.
Yeah. A proportion of participants who committed the conjunction fallacy, which is what we were talking about earlier.
Right.
When given a description of a criminally untrustworthy individual.
Okay.
Who could be A, Christian, B, Muslim, C, rapist, or D, an atheist.
So they deem a rapist more trustworthy than an atheism.
Right.
Atheist.
So they would trust a rapist before they trust an atheist.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So that's part of why we do what we do, right?
Yeah.
Because we want to fix that.
Yeah, that's just insane crazy.
No. And then we move on to a 2012 poll by Gallup.
A little more modern.
Yeah, a little more.
By a year.
Yeah. Well, we're waiting on new polls to come out. There have been more recent, but I don't have them here.
Yeah.
So the question was, between now and the 2012 political conventions, there will be discussion about the qualifications of presidential candidates, their education, age, religion, race, and so on. If your party nominated a generally well-qualified person for president who happened to be blank, would you vote for this person?
Right.
So we go down the list. Black, woman, Catholic, Hispanic, Jewish, Mormon, gay or lesbian, Muslim, and atheist. Well, guess who ranked the lowest?
Atheist.
54% of Americans said yes, they would vote for a well-qualified atheist for that position. That's just over half.
Right. And the highest actually was Black.
Right. So
okay.
96%. So racism.
The second highest was a woman.
So in this particular poll, racism wasn't a huge issue.
Right.
But if you look at the others, gay and lesbian was 68%. Muslim, 58%. Again, the Muslims.
Yeah, Muslim is just barely above the atheist.
Right. And with the would not vote, the absolutely would not vote, so 43% would not vote for an atheist in any case.
Oh, is that okay?
Yeah, that's what that says.
Yeah. I find it sad that people vote for a president based on, you know, their belief system versus their actions.
Well, look at how many people probably didn't vote for Obama.
Right, because of him being Black, or did vote for him because he is Black.
Well, that's one thing. I'm talking about his name.
Oh yeah, I hear that.
How many people
all the
are
time.
Like, oh, he's a Muslim? Or,
yeah, right.
More to their point, a Muslim. I've seen that so many times. Obama's a Muslim. He's a piece of cloth? Really? Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, you need to vote for your political people based on their actions and what they stand for.
Right.
Not who they believe in and not the color of their skin or any of that.
But
or,
But there lies the problem. People tie their religion into the actions and the stances.
Again, though, I have seen, you know, Christians who are, you know, they're religious, but they wholeheartedly believe in the separation of church and state. Right. They stand by that, but they're still religious. Right, so you can choose people based on their action, not their belief.
Right. So exactly with Reverend Barry Lynn from Americans United for Separation of Church and State. He's the head of that, and he's a reverend.
Right.
So he absolutely believes in separation of church and state. We work together with the religious all the time.
Right.
In that issue.
Right.
Because they understand that separation of church and state protects them as well.
Exactly. And it's kind of sad that so many don't see it that way.
Right.
I mean, and it clearly, church, state should never mix, and yet they mix so much.
Right. So that question has been asked, the one that we were talking about with the last poll, since 1937.
Okay.
So, and they, it wasn't until 1958 that atheist was even on the question. We ranked at 18% in 1958. Given the political and cultural situation of 1958, that's understandable.
Right.
You know, the height of the Red Scare. They just passed the In God We Trust stuff, right?
Right.
So,
well, gay and lesbian didn't even come in till 78.
Right. They came in at 26%.
At 26%. That's pretty low.
Right.
I mean, that's really low.
But what is interesting is since 1978, atheists really haven't moved that much. We've been hovering around the 50% mark.
Yeah, holding steady.
Since then, every other demographic has gone up a lot. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them started off high. So that's not a whole lot that they can go.
Right.
I mean, but if you look at the black portion, it went from 38% in 58 to 96% in 2012. That's a huge jump.
That's a very huge jump.
So and if you look at Catholics, they started 60% and they're up to 94%.
Yeah, they kind of always hold steady, I think.
Right, that's the thing. But the problem was some of these questions weren't asked for some demographics till much later. So Hispanics in 2007 rated 87% when they first came out.
Yeah.
On the poll.
Right. I mean, it's hard to believe that wasn't even taken in consideration until 07.
Right.
2007. That's crazy. Oh,
we can have a Hispanic president? That's insane.
And Muslims weren't even, it wasn't asked of Muslim until 2012. I mean, that's crazy.
Which was already 4 years after our first Muslim president.
Muslim.
But there are still a lot of misconceptions about atheists. And we would like to talk about them. Here are some of the biggest misconceptions about atheism. So, first, let's define atheism. Atheism is simply an answer to your belief about deities. A equals non, theism equals belief in deity, which is a non-belief in deities.
Plain and simple.
Right. So, some of the other myths, I don't know how much further we can go on that definition. I mean, it's just that simple.
Yeah, it's short and sweet.
I got into a conversation earlier this week with someone who said, well, it's anti-God.
No.
No, it's not anti-God. I mean, it's not even part of the definition.
No
anti.
In order to be anti-God, you first have to acknowledge a God, and then you have to have a hate for that God.
Right.
Which atheism acknowledges neither one.
Right. So, and that's what we kind of want to talk about it. Now, everything that we're going to talk about in the next few minutes is based on the worldview of secular humanists, not necessarily an atheist worldview, because I realize atheists have a wide variety of views.
Right.
So I'm not saying this is the atheist absolute view. This is how we, as secular humanists in particular, believe.
Right.
So the first myth is atheists don't believe in anything.
That's actually not proper English, but okay.
Yeah, that's just how it works. But what do we believe? Because we do have beliefs. So I, for one, believe in the inherent good of people. I believe we can be good people.
Yeah, I truly do. I mean, yes, there is awful things that happen and awful people out there, but I mean, I really believe that there is good in people.
Right.
Some might just be harder to find in others.
Right. And I don't think people who are diametrically opposite to me politically and economically are bad people. I think they're good people trying to do what they think is right.
Right. They see it in their own mind as good.
So, and while I may disagree with them, I see their point sometimes.
Yeah. I
see where they're coming from because I can play that devil's advocate occasionally.
Yeah, I'm a little more hard on that, I think, because I just see that they know better.
Right, and you would hope they would know better. So what's another thing we believe? We believe in testable hypotheses like
the fact that we have already seen time and time again, the sun comes up every morning and we believe in the fact that it will come again, or the seasons change, or the world will continue to spin. You know, anything that we have tested and proven time and time again, you know, you can't say 100% for a fact the sun will come up tomorrow. We believe that it will based on, you know, tested hypothesis that right. we've done. We've, I mean, that goes it, for everything. Right. I mean,
we've
not just this.
We've seen it come up every morning for our entire lives. We have this assumption, and we go on the faith that it will.
Right.
That's the type of faith we employ.
Right.
Yeah. You know? And then we believe in what? Awe.
Awe. Right? Most definitely.
Most definitely. I feel this a lot. But
I do more even so than you. I can look at the clouds in the sky and just have awe for it, or a sunset or a sunrise, or just the beauty of an eagle soaring in the sky. I personally just love that stuff.
Right. And I like, so last year, or possibly the year before, Diana Nyad was on Oprah's Soulful Sunday show, right? And I think she had the perfect answer for it.
You told our producers that you're not a God person, that you're a person who's deeply in awe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm not a God person. And do I argue against my friends who are, you know, religious, Buddhist, Jews, Christians?
Do you consider yourself atheist?
I'm an atheist. And
but you're in the awe.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't understand why anybody would find, you know, a contradiction in that. I can stand at the beach's edge with the most devout Christian, Jew, Buddhist, go on down the line, and weep with the beauty of this universe and be moved by all of humanity. All the billions of people who have lived before us, who have loved and hurt
yeah.
and suffered. So to me, my definition of God is humanity and is the love of humanity.
Now, that made the rounds last year or the year before, don't remember exactly when, and it really struck a chord with a lot of atheists. This idea that we can't have awe.
Yeah, that so many believe that atheists can't have awe and sense of wonder and amazement.
Right, which we most certainly can.
Most definitely. I do on a daily basis.
So the next one is atheism means moral relativism, or they are immoral.
I hear that so much.
Right. So even when I did the Ask Us Anything event a couple weeks ago, that was one of the concepts that came up. You know, do you believe in moral absolutes? Do you believe in moral relativism? And no, I don't believe in moral absolutes.
Right. And the Ask Us Anything was a panel of different religions, and anyone from the audience could, you know, ask questions of anyone on the panel or of all of them on the panel.
Right. But, you know, we do choose our morality, but it is first and foremost based on empathy and compassion.
It most definitely is.
Right. We think about how our actions are going to affect others,
right,
and the future.
Yes. And you know what hurts yourself, so therefore you can base on what you think would hurt others, which technically is empathy.
Right. Yeah. I don't like being murdered, so therefore I don't murder others.
And I don't like to cause pain to myself, or I know how pain would feel, so I therefore would not cause pain to someone else.
Right.
Whether it's physical or emotional.
Right. And another thing is, the majority of people in prisons are religious.
Yeah, that was just a little tidbit that I liked, that I thought was very interesting, because the majority of people in prisons are very religious. And those who didn't go in feeling too religious, they kind of just like weren't anything. They find God while they're in there,
yeah, a lot
too,
of times
if you
they
notice.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that may be a fake finding of God, but at this point, it doesn't matter.
Right. The fact is, you know, they say that atheists are such bad people, but I gotta say, I have seen, you know, firsthand as a kid that was religious and now not, and, you know, now I'm an atheist, I have personally seen both sides, and I gotta say, it's most of the, you know, terrible things that I see that people do are coming from a lot of mostly religious. I mean, as far as atheists go, the ones that I have met and known are open-minded, open-hearted, accepting of everyone and anyone for, you know, whoever they are. So
right. It's like with the gay marriage debate, right?
Exactly.
And this has been said on so many different shows. There is no secular reason to be against gay marriage.
Right.
I mean, we haven't found a one that makes sense. Besides, it's icky. That's an argument. I mean,
really?
Some people don't like it. You know, whatever. Don't care if you don't like it. Don't legislate it.
Right. And I yeah, that really still blows my mind, the fact that you can discriminate against someone for their sexual orientation.
Right.
That still blows my mind.
And another thing, if you need a book to guide your morality, I don't think you're actually moral.
Right, because you need someone to tell you
right.
what to do instead of, you know, coming from yourself.
Right. And then one of my favorite things is this Einstein quote.
The Einstein quote is my favorite. It states, "If people are good only because they fear punishment and hope for a reward, then we are a sorry lot indeed." And I absolutely love this. I have this bumper stick. We actually turned it into a bumper sticker ourselves and put it like all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's completely sums it up.
Right.
The fact that people do things because they either think they're going to get something out of it or they're going to get punished for it, and that's how they base their morality, is a horrible concept.
Right. And that's the entire basis of all religions.
Exactly. Any religion.
Right.
Whereas as a free thinker, an atheist, you know, someone who doesn't believe in a God, you know, we don't fear a punishment. We don't hope for reward. We do it because it's the right thing to do. We do it because of the empathy that we have for all living things.
Right. Now, next myth is atheism is a religion. So first, let's look at the definition of religion. It is the belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal god or gods, and or particularly a particular system of faith and worship.
That right there proves that atheism is not a religion.
Right. Atheism has no dogma. It has no worship system. It has no supernatural.
Anything.
Right. In fact, we pretty much do away with anything supernatural.
Right. I mean, it specifically states it. You do not believe in any deities.
Right. And a religion almost universally, with the exception of one or two, require a belief in a deity.
And it has a system of faith and worship.
Right.
So, and that covers all religions, regardless of what they are, which the definition of atheist does not hold any of those.
Right. So some of the best arguments against this is bald. Calling atheism a religion is like calling bald a hair color, off a TV channel, or not collecting stamps a hobby.
Right.
So those are some of the best ways to come back against that. Yeah, analogies.
Analogies.
So I like that. Next, atheists hate God.
Again, I already stated this. In order to hate a god, you have to believe in said god.
Yeah, there's not much else we
so
can say about that.
So that's pretty self-explanatory.
Right. Next, atheism is communism, fascism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So those are political and economic stances which have no bearing on whether a god exists or not.
That is correct.
Okay. And while most communists are atheists, but in most communist governments, they replace the worship of a god with statism.
Right, which again has nothing to do with the deity.
Right. So take North Korea. They have essentially deified the Kim family.
Right.
Yeah, all three of them. That's just how that works. And it's forced deification.
Right. Yeah, oh, it's very forced. I mean, I've heard several stories.
So while the state is technically an atheist state, they have deified themselves, therefore negating the idea of pure atheism.
Right.
Right. Pure atheism is a weird word. I don't even know why. That's just weird. Okay, next. Atheists hold that life has no meaning.
That is so contradictory.
So we think this is our only life, and it is the most precious thing that we can have.
Yes.
Because we don't get a second chance at this.
You need to make the most of the life you live and make it so for the future generations.
Right. And as secular people, we try to live our life with purpose. And we give meaning to life, not the other way around.
Right.
Right. I mean, we make it happen.
And we don't, you know, live for the next world.
Right.
Meaning you just throw this one away and, you know, all will be better in the next one.
Yeah, because that's what it kind of feels like sometimes when someone asks me this. He's like, aren't you worried about the afterlife? I said, no, why would I worry about the afterlife? It's not provable yet. Right. I deal with this reality.
Right.
As I can. It's the only one I can perceive.
Right.
So I have to deal with this one.
And you live this one the best that you can, the fullest that you can.
Right. I mean, it's
and you relish it.
Yeah. You enjoy your time we have on this planet.
Right. And one thing, you know, with our, you know, fast-paced technology age kind of thing, people need to remember sometimes to stop and take a breath and look around you and appreciate what you have outside of all the technical world, which you are not very good with. Yes, you are very bad about that.
No, I'm very good about that.
No. No, you really need to stop and smell the roses.
I can see the roses on the computer.
No, I'm sorry. That just does not cut it. I'm going to pull the power plug on you someday.
Yeah, okay, good luck with that. So, I thought we might also talk about exactly why we're so active, why we fight so hard for secular equality. So, the other night, I had a conversation with one of my daughters about her atheism. And she was worried that people won't accept her because she's an atheist. She already has a few issues of her own.
Right. And we have always stated to our kids since they were little, we want them to feel free to believe in anything that they choose, which we actually, when they were younger, would educate them on different religions and give them, you know, little info about multiple religions and just let them make the choice. And we've never told them anything of right. This is how it's going to go. And we've actually had them, you know, have a chance to go with their friends to churches a few right. times too.
And honestly, we didn't bring up religion at all. No. Unless they asked.
Right, right. Right.
We didn't really talk about it until the youngest ones were around 10.
Yeah, I think
so. That's about right. When we started this whole thing, right? Things started actually what we considered the age of reason,
right.
where they have taken all the make-believe and they've gone past it. They can right. understand the difference between real and imaginary. That's when we started.
Right. Which is why we also give them info on several different right. things to let them explore and encourage them to go do more on their own if they, you know, needed to.
Right. Well, moving on with the, right. the daughter.
Yeah.
She hates the idea that someone will stop liking her because she doesn't believe in any gods, which has happened to her already.
Yes.
Okay. By the end, she was in tears because she's so afraid of being ostracized because she's an atheist. She doesn't want to hide it, but she realizes in some cases we must hide it.
And that is so wrong. I mean, to have to do that.
Yeah. And I told her there's nothing wrong with her. It's not her that's the problem. The problem lies in those that refuse to accept her as she is, in those that refuse to accept atheism as a valid viewpoint on the world.
Right.
Right. And that's why we were talking so much about the trust issue, the presidential issue, because I wanted to touch that. Right. Because it's important. And that's why I do what I do. There's been people who ask me, why are you so active? Why do you do so much? And I do it for my children. I want to make sure that they don't have to go through their 20s like I did, hiding the fact that they're atheists.
Or having to, you know, find any, too.
Right.
We went through a lot of that because we were back east and this was, you know, like 20 years ago. And so it was hard to find anyone at that point, too.
It was before the internet became big.
Right.
Right?
So it was a lot harder.
It was a lot harder. But I want to make sure my kids don't have to deal with that. I want them to feel like they can be open at any time with anybody.
Right.
Right. I mean, of course, there's going to be situations where you know you can't.
There always will be.
But I that's why I am so adamant about how I do things and why I do things.
Right.
So, but I think we'll move on from that because that's fairly depressing. Right. And it's that time again.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
That's right. It's time for the Potter Award. So this week we're doing the Potter Award a little bit differently. Normally we concentrate on someone being a jerk and being even more of a jerk. Well, this week it's about someone being a jerk and then, well, not being a jerk.
Oh, really?
Yes. As many of you know, we were introduced to Caitlyn Jenner last week. This is a new name of Bruce Jenner, Olympian and reality TV celebrity from the Kardashians, I think is the name. I don't really do reality TV, but whatever.
Yeah, he's with the Kardashian family.
She came out as transgender, and we applaud her courage for being so public about it, because that is something difficult to do, especially for especially for a high-profile person.
Right.
But not everyone was so enthused about this. And I introduce you to Terry Coffey of Oregon. Not a celebrity, not a politician. Right, just an average person.
Right, but worthy.
Right. He posted a picture to his Twitter feed that depicted two soldiers from World War II in what appears to be a fighting retreat with one carrying the other while he is firing a pistol to cover their flight. Accompanying the photo were his comments. After I see post after post about Bruce Jenner's transition to a woman, I hear words like bravery, heroism, and courage. I just thought I'd remind all of us what real American courage and heroism and bravery looks like. Now, while I agree with some of the sentiment of this, that there's courage in being a soldier, there's courage in fighting for your country.
Right.
Right. But I think it's a different kind of courage. And we'll cover that in a minute. After this post went viral, Mr. Coffey decided to research the photo and get the story behind it. He was quite surprised by the results.
Yes.
The photo that accompanied, the very next day, he posted the following about the viral photo. The photo that accompanied my words was chosen from a quick image search. Just wanted something to fit my words. I wanted to find out who the photographer was so I could credit his work. In an ironic twist, I have discovered that the photo is part of a documentary created by a man who was beaten nearly to death outside a bar in 2000. After spending 9 days in a coma, suffering severe brain damage, and being unable to walk or talk for a year, he chose to try to cope with his pain from the tragic event by creating a world of stories and characters and photos set in World War II. The image I chose, was one of those created for an upcoming documentary. Why was he nearly beaten to death by five strangers? Because he was a cross-dresser.
That's really sad.
I could have chosen one of hundreds of other photos, but I didn't. I chose this one. Do I think it was an accident? I don't. What happened to this man was cruel, wrong, and unforgivable. Hate helps nothing. Love wounds no one, and God heals all.
So he completely turned his view around based on researching that photograph.
Right. Now, while I disagree with his concept of God.
Right, of course.
If there were anything that led me to believe that there was a universal force doing things, it's situations like this. Right?
I still can't go there, I get it.
This is the closest thing I can get.
Right.
Because this is, it almost feels like the universe is telling this guy, hey, you should look at this again. Right?
Yeah.
I realize it's not.
So I understand the whole point of it, but I still can't go there with the whole I could almost get it kind of thing. But I do understand he had basically an epiphany.
Right, he did. He saw these images and he's like, wow, maybe I was a little wrong.
Right, exactly. And for me, once again, I can't go to that universal, cosmic, God is helping him to see his ways kind of thing. I can't go there. Right.
So what he discovered was that the image was created by Mark Hogenkamp, who created the photo as part of an exercise to manage his pain and PTSD after nearly being beat to death.
Right.
15 years ago. Because he was a cross-dresser.
And it's ironic that what this guy was originally putting this photograph up for in the first place.
Right.
And to do the research on the photographer to find this story, which ironically fits right there, and right, to change his view on things.
And Mr. Coffey is highlighted here because of his lesson in humanity. And I think it fits in with the rest of the show.
Right.
Is that if we actually look at what people are, we change our mind about our misconceptions about them.
Instead of looking at their titles.
Right.
Right. And look at the person.
Right. And he learned this because of a post he made.
So he got the Potter Award for the beginning of the post, the beginning of posting the picture. But in a sense, it's almost like it's retracted because of the lesson he learned in the end.
But I felt it was important to talk about this, especially on this show.
Right, right.
So he gets the Potter Redemption Award.
Yes, that's a good one.
So,
I like it.
So that's a plus.
Yes.
So, and that's all the yakking we have for you today. Join us again next week as we resume the assault on your eardrums. And if you can't seem to get enough of us, check us out on Twitter and Facebook. And if you like what you hear, drop to our Patreon page and help support the show. You can also leave us some feedback on our voicemail number. And you can email us at podcast@secularyakking.com. Then you can head over to Stitcher and iTunes and leave us that coveted 5-star review.
Secular Yakking is sponsored by the Humanists of North Puget Sound.
The views expressed are those of the host and not those of HMPS or its board.
All audio for this episode was used under the Creative Commons license.
And remember, the government of the United States of America is not, in any sense, founded on the Christian religion.